Welcome back. Remember, if you bought a house anywhere but Santa Barbara, you didn't pay enough. Joining me is the director of the Wildlife Care Network here in Santa Barbara, Julia Parker. Welcome to Radio Real Estate.
Thank you.
Now, we have a special, you know, do you have a theme song for the Wildlife Care Network?
No, we don't. That's a good thing that we should have one,
though. Okay, you've got one now.
I like it.
Think I love you.
There you go. Wild Thing, I Think I Love You. See, there you go.
I like it, yeah.
So you guys love Wild Things, the Wildlife Care Network. We're going to find out what you do and how you help people because, you know, a lot of people are scared of wild animals and critters, and we're going to find out what you do. Funny, I got a hold of you because of a good friend of mine who's the daughter of Edith Hovey, who died several years ago, and she made it her life's work to kind of take care of wild, mostly birds, I think. You've heard of her?
Yes, I have. She was very well-known and well-liked, and her specialty was hummingbirds.
Oh, God. I love hummingbirds. I have a couple of friends, you know, they make sugar water, and they put it out there, and I've got some flowering plants that come around. They're amazing little birds.
Yeah, they're very beautiful.
Yeah. And then in January of 2015, I interviewed the Skunk Lady. Is she part of your organization?
Yes, Jackie Derbyshire. She's been rehabbing skunks for nearly 40 years. And I think this might be her last year. So in preparation for that, we just built, or it's actually in progress. We're building a facility at our center to take over that project. So we'll be taking in the baby skunks that need to be bottle fed and then keeping them until they're ready to be released. And I'm sure she'll still be a part of it coming to the center, but she won't be doing it as home care any longer.
You know, it's funny, we mentioned Edith Hovey, and her daughter Marion is a long, long-time friend of mine. And she told me a story, these skunks, that she was in her bed with her two cats, and the light came on, it turned the light on, she heard something, and these little baby skunks had walked into her bedroom. And I don't know if the mama skunk was with them, and they were just kind of walking around, and then they just walked out. And she just sat there and watched them, and it was no problem. But we certainly, everyone has a fear of skunks like crazy.
Yes, they do. You know, the skunks themselves, they're not really aggressive animals. If everything's calm and quiet and still, they'll just, you know, mosey on by. But it's when, you know, there's a lot of noise and activity, you know, people running or screaming or dogs charging up to them, that's when they spray. And, of course, when they're having their own territorial conflicts is when most people, you know, have the experience of smelling their, you know, spraying in the yard.
I bet dogs probably get sprayed by skunks more than people do because people at least know to be cautious.
Right.
I was watching an episode. I was a rerun of Family Guy yesterday, and Brian the dog got sprayed by a skunk. Did you see that one?
No, I didn't. Oh. I hope they didn't bathe him in tomato juice, though.
That's funny you should say that. They actually banned him from the house, but at first when he got sprayed, he was running around, he was blinded, and he was, like, knocking things over. But they did show him in a sink with tomato juice. You don't like that?
No, it doesn't work. There's another concoction you can make up with peroxide, dish soap, and baking soda, and you can get the recipe from our website.
Oh.
Which is www.sbwcn.org.
SBWCN, which stands for Santa Barbara Wildlife Care Network.
Correct.
.org. SBWCN, Santa Barbara Wildlife Care Network. .org. So it's peroxide, dish soap, and what?
Baking soda.
Oh. That sounds good. I remember when I interviewed the skunk lady, my client, retired Hollywood actor Rick Rossovich, called in and disputed the fact that tomato juice doesn't work. It seems like he's used it in the past, but sounds very acidic.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot messier than the other recipe, and there are also some other sprays that you can get. I think Cat and Bird Clinic has one for sale, and it's already mixed up in a bottle, and you can just have that ready.
Oh, and I thought it was thyme in a bottle. You know, what really helps, though, is you take the tomato juice and you make a Bloody Mary out of it, and then you feel a whole lot better with the skunk. You know,
that always, I like that, yeah.
That always works for me, the skunk.
Yeah, a little Tabasco.
Yeah, exactly. So, okay, so that's interesting. So skunks, so you're actually, so Jackie was that strong of a pillar here. She was literally taking care of all the skunks, so you have to actually...
Oh. Yes, yeah, we had to build a facility. She could get anywhere from 30 to 60 skunks in a season, which is comparatively short, from April to July, you know, when the baby skunks are found, either orphaned or, you know, maybe the mother was hit by a car or they got lost, and she would take in the babies and bottle feed them and keep them until they were ready to fend for themselves.
They don't allow people to take skunks and take out the mechanism that shoots.
No, that's it's kind of a dangerous operation, and it's really not worth it for the animal's health.
But do you know there's such a thing? Because there is such an operation. Why would it have ever been done?
I don't know. Well, sometimes there's, you know, depending on what state you live in, sometimes it is legal to have certain wildlife species for pets, and I think somewhere in the Midwest people have possums for pets and maybe skunks as well, and that could be a reason. But we had an education skunk, I think Jackie probably talked about Curly, and he recently passed away just actually last week, and she took him to classrooms for years and he never sprayed during the presentations, you know. So if it's everything is calm and
right,
and they're not startled or frightened, you know, there's really no problem.
I think she told me she gave him a little Xanax before each classroom, though, kind of calmed him down. But that was really, you take a skunk to a classroom, well, she must have been really confident in that.
Yeah,
and yeah, that's what I was thinking, that people take wild animals. Ferrets, is that still illegal in California?
Yes, still illegal in California.
Why is that? Do you know?
Probably because of the poultry industry. If they did get loose and started multiplying, it could wreak havoc on that industry, because they would be predators and can get into almost any crevice.
Oh.
I know that there is a group that is really lobbying, you know, to kind of overcome that law. Because they do want, so many people do like ferrets and want them for pets, but
well,
you know, you have to remember the ferret, and a ferret is sort of a wild creature, and it can cause a lot of destruction, sort of like a puppy likes to chew things up. Ferrets can be really detrimental to your furniture and, you know, probably anything else in your house.
But, you know, you brought up a good point. My guest is Julia Parker. She's director of the Wildlife Care Network, and you can go online and just use the initials to spell Santa Barbara Wildlife Care Network, which is SBWCN.org, Santa Barbara Wildlife Care Network.org. It's an interesting thing. We have cats and dogs that can, you know, they're domesticated, and then people have snakes. People want to have wild animals as pets, and ferrets are wild animals. Skunks, everything, these are wild animals, but people do love doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, Siegfried and Roy, you go a little too far, but
right.
People love animals and they want to nurture them and, you know, humanize them, but it can cause problems.
Yeah, I think they're basically happiest when they're in their, you know, own environment and relating to their own species. Because people's lives change, and sometimes the amount of attention they can provide for that pet changes, and the animal suffers, and a lot of people that get exotic animals for pets don't keep them for that animal's lifetime. And so then they end up passing the animal on to a rescue center for that species, and the animal has to, you know, go through a lot of different households as pet, as, you know, as a homeowner. A lot of people can't keep, say, an exotic parrot. They're noisy, they're very destructive, And sometimes people don't find that out until after they have the pet.
Right, right. It's a good point. Ferrets, where do ferrets exist naturally in the wild?
That's a good question. I'm not really sure where they're native to, but I know that Arizona is one state where people can have them as pets.
Oh, no kidding.
And, we have an animal that looks similar to a ferret, but it is not a ferret. It's a cat-like weasel, and sometimes people find those and they think that they're ferrets, and then they realize that they're not.
When they grow up to be 400 pounds.
No, they don't. They get this just about the same size as a ferret, but then they get brought into the wildlife center, and a lot of people find wildlife as babies and think that the attachment is so strong, and they want to help the animal, and they end up raising the animal up, and then when it gets a little bit older, they realize that they can't really keep it, and they'll drop it off at an inappropriate place. For instance, one time we had a Canada goose that was clearly, hand-reared, but someone ended up dropping it off down by the pier in Santa Barbara and was chasing people up and down the bike path.
What kind of animal was it?
A Canada goose.
A Canada goose.
Mm-hmm, and it took us a couple weeks to catch it because it was big and fast. It wasn't flying away, but eventually we did catch it and release it.
Oh, you put it in where? What do you do with it?
Well, we grew it up and put it with some of its own species, so it wasn't so imprinted.
I see.
We have local populations of Canada geese at some of the golf courses in town and UCSB.
Huh. So it's quite interesting. Julia Parker is the guest. She's the director of the Wildlife Care Network. Are you funded by the state or the federal government? Do you just take donations?
We're a nonprofit, and we survive by donations solely. We receive some grants. We are licensed by the California and Federal Fish and Wildlife. So they give us our permit to do what we do. We take in about 3,000 animals per year. And each wildlife rehabilitation center can decide which species they have the resources for and want to deal with. And there's about 100 wildlife rehabilitation centers in California. And what we want is people to know about us. We've been around since 1988. And still we find that, people really just don't know that we exist until they have a wildlife crisis or concern, and then somehow they find us. But we just wish more people, did know about us, and we always need volunteers. We need volunteer drivers and volunteers to help us care for animals, volunteers to help us answer the phone and help with special events. But we are a nonprofit agency, so... when people find the animals that are either hit a window or hit by a car or cat attack, they find us mostly, I think, online, or they call animal control or their veterinarian, and that's how they find out about us.
Now, so you have volunteers who have to man the phone, because I imagine you don't have an office with a secretary there all day to pay for that?
We use volunteer staff to answer the phone, and then we have a small paid staff that does answer the phone, but our priority is caring for the animals that we have on grounds.
Right.
And in spring and summer, it can be up to 200 baby birds that need to get fed every hour from dawn to dusk, and so we're pretty busy.
What do you want to give out a phone number?
Oh, sure. Yeah, they can call us at 805-681-1080 and leave a message. And we will get back to them. Usually we try to get back to them within 30 to 60 minutes, but if we don't, just call back, and we'll try to help you out as quickly as we can.
Right, either by telling, directing them what to do, or directing them mm-hmm. to another agency or somehow. And that's
right.
Good that you monitor it that frequently, because sometimes it is an emergency. So the The wildlife, the Santa Barbara Wildlife Care Network phone number is 805-681-1080. And does that spell ferret? No, that doesn't spell anything, does it? 681-1080. I'll have to let Bev and Larry know in Arizona that they get a ferret. They usually have carrots. Do ferrets get along with cats?
They can. I think it kind of depends on the cat's temperament and personality. But, yeah, it's amazing what species can get along sometimes.
Right, right. What kind of advice would you give as general, you know, general advice when people encounter wildlife in their backyard or you know, what can they do without having to call you? What kind of suggestions or what?
The best thing to do is if they feel comfortable, you know, handling the animal, and sometimes a pair of gardening gloves and a bath towel and a box is all you need. And if you can safely, you know, pick up the bird and put him in a box, keeping them warm, dark, and quiet is really key. Keeping them dark and quiet reduces the stress that they have from just being incapacitated or on the ground and being vulnerable to other predators. Oftentimes people want to put water and food in with the animal. That's discouraged because the animal could be cold. If they're cold, they can't really process any food or water. And a lot of times the water bowl ends up just tipping over and then getting the animal wet. And then you not only have an injured animal, but you have a cold animal.
Hmm.
So just putting them in a box or a brown grocery bag and calling us or bringing the animal to us, to our physical location, which is 1460 North Fairview Avenue, and that's above Cathedral Oaks.
Okay.
And we're open every day. Our current hours are from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., but after the time change, and at the end of October, it'll be 7 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Wow. 7 days a week?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have animals on grounds almost all the time. Most of our songbirds are gone now. They've grown up and we've released them. But this season in the fall and winter is the season we get in a lot of seabirds, the pelagic birds like the loons and grebes that live out on the ocean. And they're, you know, sometimes they just are emaciated or sometimes they're oiled and people find them beached on the sand. And whenever they're on the sand, that means there is a problem. They're having some kind of, you know, compromising issue, and they need help. And when they're on the sand, they're also kind of vulnerable to dogs and anything that's running loose on the beach. So it's always good to get them into our center as soon as possible.
Okay. It sounds like birds are a big part of it. Again, the Santa Barbara Wildlife Care Network, they're online by using the initials of Santa Barbara Wildlife Care Network, sbwcn.org. They're at 1460 North Fairview, open 7 days a week, and the phone number 805-681-1080. Talking with Julia Parker, the director. We're pretty much out of time. Julia, would you like to just add anything about any special events that you do? Do you have fundraising events?
Yes, we have two main fundraising events a year. We just had our Channel Cat cruise in mid-September, and that's a very fun event.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a great event with hors d'oeuvres and drinks and a raffle. And then coming up in April, we're going to be having a luncheon silent auction. The location and the date have not been determined yet, but check our website for that. And it's usually a real fun Sunday afternoon event. And there's lots of great items that they can get in our silent auction. And we'd love to have the community's support. And we'd love to help people if they have any wildlife concerns.
Well, we'll put this program up on the podcast and put a link to your website. And then you have my email. Why don't you keep me posted when these events come up, and I'll help promote them.
Okay, great.
Okay, Julia Parker, Director of Wildlife Care Network here in Santa Barbara, 1460 North Fairview, 805-681-1080, or get them online, sbwcn.org. That's Santa Barbara Wildlife Care Network.org. Thanks, Julia. Oh, and can we play the song again? Maybe not.
Sure. Yes. By all means.
We could have played Julia, the Beatles song. But thanks, Julia.
Okay, thank you very much.
Bye-bye.